Good afternoon, everybody. This is the June 14th, 2018 afternoon session of the Portland City Council. Carla, please call the roll.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Udaly? Fritz Wheeler?
Here. Colleagues, Commissioner Fritz asked that I note that she's absent on city business. She's attending the League of Oregon Cities meeting as the city's representative. And she has indicated that she will certainly review the record prior to voting next week. And we're appreciative of Commissioner Fritz doing that good work at the League of Oregon Cities. So she is noted as excused this afternoon. Our first item is item 656.
Do we want to read the rules?
We decided to defer that today.
Okay. 656, authorize the renaming of Southwest Stark Street to Southwest Harvey Milk Street in the city of Portland.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. This is indeed a great moment here in this city chamber today to consider the renaming of Southwest Stark Street to Southwest Harvey Milk Street. And this was a result of residents who have earned signatures to bring this forward through the arduous process that we impose on for street renamings. And so they have met the litmus test, and I am honored to be the commissioner to bring this forward today. And I'm going to turn it over to my staff person, Stacy Brewster, who has done an outstanding job of working with the petitioners to put together the program today. So I'll turn it over to Stacy Brewster.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yep.
So before you today, obviously, is the application to rename Southwest Stark Street after Harvey Milk. I'm Stacy Brewster, Communications Director for Commissioner Dan Saltzman. With me is Kirk Kruger with Portland Bureau of Transportation to answer any questions you may have. I'm just going to do a quick overview of the process that got us here today. I did want to just start with a quote that comes from the Harvey Milk Street Project Committee's webpage. It's a short bio on Harvey Milk, just to set the stage here. Harvey Milk was a visionary civil and human rights leader who became one of the first openly gay elected officials in the United States when he won a seat on the San Francisco Board of Supervisors in 1977. Milk's unprecedented, loud, and unapologetic proclamation of his authenticity as an openly gay candidate for public office and his subsequent election gave never-before-experienced hope to LGBTQ people everywhere at a time when the community was encountering widespread hostility and discrimination. His remarkable career was tragically cut short when he was assassinated nearly a year after taking office. Throughout the materials and in the council documents that I filed, I use the term LGBTQ. Obviously, you all know that stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, but in no means do I mean to think that that is a perfect term. I know that it incorporates a large umbrella of our community, including those who identify who are asexual, pansexual, non-binary, and two-spirit, and intersex. So just wanted to lay that out there. So here's the fun part, Chapter 17.93, Renaming City Streets. It's actually pretty straightforward for folks to come forward and rename city streets. Any person or group can apply. Streets are only to be renamed, this comes directly from city code, after prominent persons who have achieved prominence as a result of their significant positive contributions to the United States and or the local community, are a real person, and have been deceased at least 5 years. PBOT accepts just one application at a time, and by city code undertakes just one major street renaming per year. Prior major street renaming honorees, both before and after that code was written, include Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Bill Nadeau, Rosa Parks, and Cesar E. Chavez. The next piece of code is about how we select the piece of street that we're renaming. This picture's not great, but you'll remember we were back here in February to grant an exemption to this application so that it could move forward through the process in good faith, checking all the boxes as they went, to only rename Southwest Stark Street rather than Stark throughout the city. City code would have indicated that we had to rename all of Stark throughout the city, even though Southwest and Southeast Stark are separated by the Willamette River and Waterfront Park. So this is the map of what we're looking at. It's 13 blocks from where it intersects with West Burnside to all the way to NATO Parkway. And we felt, and council felt in February that the committee made a compelling case in terms of downtown's association with the LGBTQ community historically. So how did we get here today? I will let the committee members and special guests speak to how they got to the process of selecting Harvey Milk and Southwest Stark Street. They'll speak to that. But I just wanted to sort of run you through how we got through all the steps here. So first we have, back in the fall, we were approached by the committee about renaming a city street. As you know, PBOT can only accept one application at a time, and there were a couple already in the door, so we were sort of in a holding pattern. So we waited for the decks to be clear to PBOT. We thought at the time that it would only be a few months. They were sort of in various phases and would probably not be going the route of street renaming. So in the meantime, the committee announced their efforts publicly. They launched their website, continued to gather endorsements. Their website's listed here, harveymilkpdx.org. In February, we got the green light from PBOT to go ahead with the application. All the decks were cleared. Council voted to waive the portion of city code so the application could proceed. And immediately, because we passed that on emergency, PBOT was able to give the committee petition forms to begin gathering signatures. And just to remind you of city code indicates that you would get either 75% of abutting addresses signatures or signatures from 2,500 Portlanders at large, residents of Portland. This is still on here for February because even though they have 6 months to collect those signatures, they came back to us in about 3 weeks with 2,800 signatures of Portland residents. So really enthusiastic, very quickly gathered those. So the application itself, you have it in your packets. It had checked a lot of the boxes and went above and beyond in terms of what they provided to both the historian panel and all the people considering this. It included a support letter from Harvey Milk's surviving nephew, Stuart Milk, who's here with us today, a biography, a list of previous honors received, support letter from the Downtown Neighborhood Association. I put an extra copy at the dais for you all, as well as the committee's vision for the project and their narrative on the choice of Southwest Stark Street. They also went above and beyond and gathered a ton of endorsements from community organizations and leaders. I'm not going to read them all to you now, but we can just briefly flash to them. These are some of the community organizations that endorsed this before their application went in. Community leaders that endorse this. Businesses on Southwest Stark Street. And other Portland businesses. So in March, Commissioner Dan Saltzman is the commissioner in charge of PBOT, appointed a historian panel. Many of those folks are here today and will be speaking. That included Cindy Comfer, retired nonprofit attorney and historian, Darcelle 15, the longest performing drag queen in the country, and owner of the longest running drag show west of the Mississippi. Kathleen Sadat, lifelong civil rights activist and musician, and Carrie Timchuk, the executive director of the Oregon Historical Society. So that historian panel had their public meeting in April. They discussed every aspect of the application, including the history of Benjamin Stark, and voted unanimously to approve this application. Meanwhile, the city auditor was sending postcards, surveys that people could return anonymously, any abutting address on or abutting Southwest Stark. So not only people with addresses on Southwest Stark, but if you are in a building that has a wall on Southwest Stark, even if your address isn't Southwest Stark, you got one of these postcards with the option of filling that out and sending back to the auditor. And then another thing that's not in city code, but I wanted to talk about, I think it'll be referenced here today because it comes from the mission and the vision laid out by the committee from the outset, which is that we convened a meeting with PBOT and the Regional Arts and Culture Council, committee members and members of council staff to discuss additional ways that if we were to do this street renaming, how we could honor the struggle for LGBTQ civil rights and the legacy of local LGBTQ heroes and places. So that work is ongoing. We've done a walkthrough with staff, and there's a lot of ideas being generated, everything from Peabod End of doing a rainbow crosswalk to bigger ideas of historical markers and artwork and things like that. Folks may mention it, but the Harvey Milk Street Project Committee has a booth at this weekend's Pride Festival, so you can check them out there and share your ideas on what you would want to see happen for this then. And then all the other steps go directly to the Planning and Sustainability Commission. I've used the abbreviation PSC on here for anyone who's following. The historian panel sent their unanimous recommendation letter. The auditor reported the results of their postcard survey to the Planning Commission. Vast majority of those were non-responsive, about 80%. We had 67 return in opposition and 46 in support. And then PBOT provided their budget impact statement, exactly how much this would cost to manufacture the signs, install them, and by city code, remove the old Southwest Stark Street signs in 5 years. And the total whopping cost of that is about $8,000. So just to keep that in mind as we're talking about this and what the scope of this is, it's rather small. So on May 15th, the Planning and Sustainability Commission held their public hearing. There was public testimony. All the testimony was in favor, none against. The commission asked some questions and voted unanimously to send a recommendation letter to council, which they did June 1st, which you have. And really, those were all the steps. We've gotten to city council in remarkable speed. as a gay city employee, I didn't want to lose this moment just to say what an honor and how grateful I am to have been working on this project. I'm probably the longest serving gay staff member in elected office here in this building to almost 10 years. And I really cognizant working on this project, what Harvey Milk has meant to me and how many people have been involved in the fight and the struggle for our humanity and dignity in this community. So just to them, I just want to say thank you. And that's really it. I want to allow if you have any questions for us or PBOT, and then we can get into our invited testimony.
Thank you. Good presentation.
Okay.
Yeah.
So first up, we have Mickey Gillette with the Harvey Milk Street Project Committee, Stuart Milk, Harvey Milk's nephew and the founding chair of the Harvey Milk Foundation, and Nancy Hack, co-executive director of Basic Rights Oregon.
Good afternoon and welcome. The microphones move around, so you can pull them closer if you'd like. And we find about this distance here works really well. And the only requirement is name for the record. Appreciate it.
Great. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler. My name is Mickey Gillette. Is that too close?
That's perfect.
That's good?
Perfect.
Okay. I'm going to speak about the process that our committee went through and bringing about this project. We're a diverse grassroots coalition of folks representing community leaders, nonprofits, and the Southwest Stark business community. We met and discussed potential LGBTQ icons for the renaming who met the two requirements in the city code, which were that the person be a prominent individual and that they be deceased for 5+ years. After the deliberations, we decided that Harvey Milk is a compelling choice, that it's a name that will be recognized internationally by allies and by LGBTQ folks alike. We see this portion of the project, the renaming, as a starting point, creating a space and opportunities to recognize additional LGBTQ icons, such as Marie Equi, Keystone Lowry, Marsha P. Johnson, and Sylvia Rivera, and others that we discussed as a committee. We also we're in the process, as Stacy mentioned, of brainstorming with PBOT and with RAC about these additional projects. We want to be cognizant that we're in Oregon, and we'd like to be able to talk about Oregon LGBTQ history and Oregon LGBTQ figures, but we see Harvey Milk is a really great choice for this renaming project. So I appreciate you holding this hearing today and considering this important project.
Thank executed.
Thank you, Mayor and members of the City Council, for considering the renaming of Stark Street for Harvey, for my Uncle Harvey. I want to also thank Terry, Nicole, Stacy, and everyone in this room who has worked so hard to support this effort. I'm a little travel weary. I came here from Lafayette, and the time difference is extreme.
Yes, it is.
Someone said you came down. I actually said no. I think actually the midnight sun is there, so I think I came south. It was important for me to be here, and it's important for me to recognize the role that the family plays. I've have the unfortunate and fortunate opportunity to be in a small club of individuals who are family members of those who gave their life for civil rights movement. And you know, before I come to these type of events, I always touch base, usually with a member of the Kennedy family. And Kara reminded me yesterday, Kara Kennedy, of the quote of President Kennedy, who said that a community is judged and ultimately should be judged on who they honor and who they want their citizens to inspire and to be inspired to be more like. At the very essence, my uncle was a dreamer who believed that everybody should be accepted for who they are, that everybody be included, that everyone be authentic. He was one of the first openly gay elected officials, but he was also the first person to ask people to be out, to be visible. And he realized that our struggle was one of invisibility and that the lies and myths and innuendos about any minority community are only sustained when people don't know people from that community. And whether it's a bully on the playground or possibly a bully on Pennsylvania Avenue, bullies only win when we as a community are divided. And I particularly appreciate that that Terry and everyone involved in the committee did ask the family to be involved. One thing that we do struggle with the LGBT community is sometimes there's a dehumanization of our LGBT leaders by not realizing that they have loving and supporting families. My uncle's legacy was a battle, as I said, for visibility. And when we went through the process to get a terminal named after my uncle in San Francisco, some individuals suggested that maybe someone who had something to do with the airport have that named after him. And it was folks like Dolores Huerta who said, no, Harvey gave his life. He was a martyr. And there is a special place that we hold as Americans for those who are willing to give their life. He continues to inspire new generations. I was just with Emma Gonzalez, who is an amazing leader and survivor of the Pulse massacre, who herself is a member of the LGBT community. And she said that Harvey was the reason that she was able to be out and visible, and it's what gives her sometimes the courage to take a national stage like she did at the mall in Washington. I've got two stories. I know that they've given me 5 minutes. I've got two brief stories, so if you have a hook, you might get that ready. But I wanted to give a sense of what Harvey and who he inspires globally around the world. 2 years ago, we had a U.S. Navy ship naming ceremony that the U.S. Navy named a ship after my uncle. We held that event at Treasure Island, and it was the event that the U.S. Navy had the most press, the most positive reaction than any naming ceremony in their history. We got, at the Milk Foundation, thousands of emails. One in particular represents many of them. It was a young man named Camille, 14-year-old named Camille, who said that he is in Kuwait, his very existence is illegal. If he came out to his family, they would do an honor killing. And that he wanted to let us know that he was sitting at the port in Kuwait waiting for the U.S. Navy ship Harvey Milk. that he put aside his plans for suicide and that he will wait until that ship arrives there. And by the way, it will. I have since met Camille, and I can tell you that Harvey's story resonates in communities around the world. And if this naming street resolution goes through, you will join communities like Verona, Italy, which has, for the last 10 years, its LGBT center is Harvey Milk LGBT Center, or the one in Asunción, Paraguay, and I can go on and on. Finally, let me tell you a story from just last week in Lafayette, since it's fresh in my mind. I was at an event called Love Talks. It was an open forum event, and we didn't know who was going to speak. And a woman named Katrina, in her 50s, got up, and she said that she went to a wedding at San Francisco City Hall. So if any of you have been there, you know we have a bust. Harvey's the only non-mayor that has a bust in City Hall. And it sits at the top of the stairway. And every wedding, LGBT or not, takes place in front of that bust. And this Russian wedding was taking place in front of that bust. Latvia is a Russian-majority speaking country. And Katrina saw people leaving things in front of that bust. And that, by the way, happens every day. People leave tokens, whether it's a lei or a feather boa or a ring or a letter. And she said that she saw that, and she didn't know who Harvey was, and she got the documentary, and she watched that. And she said that she always suspected that her youngest son was LGBT, and she would never have accepted that. But she showed it. She said, her whole family and a very reluctant husband in to watch the Times of Harvey Milk. And she just looked at her son, and he looked at her, and she said that he said, "Yes, Mom, I am like Harvey Milk." And she said, "I hope you are." Mm-hmm. And they embraced, and it was really, she said she has now gone on to be one of the great and one of the few PFLAG mothers in the Baltic states. So let me just close by saying that my uncle knew it wasn't a Hollywood, it wasn't Sean Penn, it wasn't my friend Dustin Lance Black who invented his prophetic view that he would face assassin's bullets. He knew he was going to be killed. I have two letters from him saying that he wasn't going to make it through 1978. I was 17 when he was killed. He didn't want to die. He didn't want to be killed, but he believed it was important that someone be asking people to be visible and coming out. And so he knew that he was going to be assassinated, and he was willing. He always told me it wasn't the quantity of time, but the quality of time that we're on Earth. And so I'm always asked as a family member if I'm sad that he didn't get to see a day like today when we have a whole room of people supporting LGBT individuals that are out themselves or allies or folks like you that realize that diversity is a strength. And my answer is always the same, that I'm not sad that he didn't get to see this day because he dreamed of it. It's what gave him the courage to go into work every day, to read those letters of hate and death threats, and to still go in. He dreamed of this day, and you are fulfilling that dream. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Colleagues, I recommend we suspend the rules for the remainder of the item. Thank you for being here.
Why did I let him go first? Thank you. Thank you, Stuart. That was incredibly moving. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler and City Council members. And I've been in this chamber many times. I've never heard testimony that made people suspend the rules. It's very exciting. Nancy Hawk, I'm co-executive director of Basic Rights Oregon, the state's advocacy and policy organization for LGBTQ Oregonians and our allies. Basic Rights Oregon is also a member of the Harvey Milk Street Project Committee. I'm here today to ask you to vote yes to rename 13 blocks of Southwest Stark in honor of Harvey Milk, an LGBTQ hero. As a queer person, as the mother of a four-year-old, I am incredibly grateful to live in a state that has been on the leading edge of LGBTQ justice. Portland and the City Council have always been ahead of the curve. And I know, as a person of color who grew up in Virginia, in a town where our main thoroughfare was named after Confederate General Robert E. Lee, that street names matter. They can make us feel welcome or definitely not welcome in a place. Naming a street for an LGBTQ hero sends a powerful message to our kids who still face alarming rates of bullying, family rejection, and homelessness that we have their backs. There are many wonderful people we should honor through renaming public spaces, and Harvey Milk is among the best. Harvey Milk was a visionary human rights leader who became one of the first openly LGBTQ elected officials in the United States when he won his seat on the San Francisco Board of Supervisors in 1977. Harvey Milk was out and proud during an era when few in our community could be. He was out just 8 years after the Stonewall riots, where Marsha P. Johnson and Sylvia Rivera and others launched the modern LGBTQ movement, protesting police brutality in New York City. He was out 4 years before the first cases of AIDS were reported, and he was out a full 2 decades before Ellen DeGeneres boldly came out on national television as part of her sitcom. He was a bold and inspiring leader who believed firmly that for LGBTQ people to be treated with dignity, we must be willing to share our stories openly and honestly. His life was tragically cut short when he was assassinated in 1978, just a year after he was elected. And leaders like Harvey Milk, Marsha P. Johnson, and Sylvia Rivera are tragically absent from our history books. LGBTQ youth have few role models to look up to in a time when the Trump administration is working to dismantle our progress, excluding transgender people from the military, carving out religious exemptions in the law, and trying to undermine our freedom to marry. So let's send a message that Portland, Oregon believes in LGBTQ equality. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Next, I want to call up Kathleen Sadat and Darcel 15. We're both on our historian panel, as well as Lisa Schroeder and Jean-Pierre Nuglos, both business owners on Southwest Stark.
Welcome.
The oldest dry green takes a minute. Good morning. First, I'd like to thank you very much for the rainbow flags. Is that a first?
Yes,
I think so. I think it's the first that I've ever seen, and I want to thank you for that. I'd like to thank also the Oregon Convention Center for lighting their towers in our colors. It's amazingly wonderful. A step forward. These are all step forwards. A few years ago, Domestic Partners, Multnomah County, at least I think they let it run for a month. I was in line with my partner, Roxy, along with hundreds of other couples, gay couples in Portland. It was a wonderful, wonderful day. We signed up as Domestic Partners. Roxy died in October of last year. And because we were signed as Domestic Partners, his estate took 10 days to settle. Thank you, Multnomah County, and another step forward. Because of this council and the state government, Portland has become a vacation destination. We thank you for that. They come for the scenery, the smiles that we have in Portland. They come for the donuts and the dry queens.
And the omelets.
Amen. Those are steps forward. I'm very proud and happy to be able to say to our bachelor parties who come to my club, you can love who you love and marry who you love. That's a step forward. I hope and know that you will make another step forward for Portland and for all of us. Please vote yes on Harvey Milk Street. It'll be an exciting time. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your being here.
Good afternoon. Thank you for coming this far. This is so important. This is such a symbol. And our symbols convey meaning. They evoke emotional responses which help crystallize identity and help people feel connected to something outside of their own selves, their immediate self, their family, and their immediate community. It is because symbols carry meaning that reflects our values and ideals that they are important. We've grown up with symbols all around us. We respond to them. We think about them sometimes. Sometimes we choke up when we hear a piece of music or see the flag or think about something that reminds us of who we are at our core. We know that those symbols reflect our collective ideals. And we also know that sometimes they need to be changed or added to, which is where we are today. We need to have symbols that challenge us to think about whose images represent us as Americans. We need to have symbols that precipitate discussions about and conversations about who we are and to help bring the marginalized narrative into the mainstream. We continue to imagine each generation, cross-generationally, what we need to be our best selves, to connect to the ideas of equality. Sometimes change can feel like a threat, but debate, discussion are imperative for a healthy democracy. So there's no reason not to have the discussion. I believe that the renaming of Stark to Harvey Milk Street means a lot of people will look at and reevaluate the meaning of being an American. We who are asking for this renaming have the same rights and responsibilities as all other Americans. They are ours, not to be taken away. Given a history of bias and bigotry against the people who make up the GLBTQ community, this is an opportunity to create a cultural symbol that reinforces the idea that members of the GLBT community are positive members of the broader society. And I remind you again that the sadness and despair, the rate of suicide experienced by young people struggling with issues of sexuality, we can't ignore it. the symbol also brings hope. Hope. We need to help them reject negative issues of sexual labels and inspire them with hope for lives built on foundations of love and support. Naming a street after Harvey Milk will help accomplish both things by acknowledging our struggle and our humanity. What a joy it would be to see the rainbow flag flying from a flagpole on Harvey Milk Street. Please vote yes.
Thank you, Catherine.
I want to thank you very much for hearing us today. I am fortunate enough to have come to Portland at a time when Stark Street was the hub for the LGBTQ community. From Red Cap to boxes to scandals in Silverado, people in the gay community knew they had a place to go where they could be at home and they could be themselves. Now, few of those establishments remain, but the memories of what was once a vibrant hub for the LGBTQ community must live on. And this can happen by renaming Southwest Stark Street Harvey Milk Street. Naming the street after this important gay leader will help preserve the important part of Portland's history, hopefully inspiring learning about Portland's gay community and their important contribution to this city. I am so honored to have been a part of the Harvey Milk Street Committee project, and I am thrilled at the prospect that my restaurant, Mother's Bistro and Bar, might be situated on a street called Harvey Milk. I am thankful to you, commissioners, for what I hope will be a historic vote today, which will bring pride and honor to an important part of Portland's population and every one of its citizens. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, Councillor. Please excuse me. I'm very nervous. And English is my third language. I'm Jean-Pierre Nugloze. You might remind me from the testimony in January. I'm from Togo, West Africa, and own a clothing store in Southwest Stark Street. I moved from my home country 3 years ago to save my life. I was LGBTQ activist and one of the founders of the first gay rights association in Togo. When my country passed a law making it a criminal to be homosexual, on year of prison time, I sought asylum here in Portland. I have personally experienced the violent gay people first in homophobic place. Portland has been a wonderful place for me, but we must be strong to help to keep it and save it. Harvey Milk Street, we carry a message of in an up city that we respect the LGBT community. I will be so honored to have my store on the street that celebrates humanity and diversity. And I hope you will vote in support of Harvey Milk Street. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Get up. Oh. 87.
And counting.
Right behind you.
Here.
I want to welcome a couple more special guests, and before they speak, we're going to play a short video. But the special guests are Nicole Murray Ramirez, a Human Relations Commissioner from San Diego, and Governor Barbara Roberts. So welcome. There's a short video testimony that we have from Matthew Shepard's parents, Judy and Dennis Shepard, and I'm going to play that for you.
That won't work because I'll never say the same thing twice. Okay, go ahead.
I'm Dennis Shepard.
And I'm Judy Shepard.
We're thrilled to find out that Portland is having a street named after Harvey Milk. It's just critical that LGBT youth know about the history of the LGBTQ movement.
If our son Matthew were still alive, this would be exactly the thing he would be thrilled to see. Acknowledgement and recognition of historical figures in the LGBT community.
Thanks.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, first of all, thank you for allowing me a second time to speak to you in favor of naming the Harvey Milk Street. I spoke at the very first hearing, and now another opportunity to speak to this important proposal. Now, I don't have to tell you, and we certainly heard it delineated at the beginning of the program here, this proposal has gone through many steps, as it should. But it has now arrived back here today for your consideration. Each of us, if we are fortunate, have heroes, role models, icons that bring inspiration and hope and vision into our lives. They help us see new paths, envision an expanded future, and create dreams of dignity and accomplishment. Portland has wisely recognized many of our role models, the lifelike statue of Vera Katz on our waterfront, buildings named after Bud Clark, Gretchen Kefauri, Judge Gus Solomon, Mark Hatfield, Edith Green, Gladys McCoy, Maureen Neuberger, and Wendell Wyatt, and streets that honor Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, and Cesar Chavez. A walk around our city is a walk through the history of role models and heroes. And today I am asking you to add Harvey Milk's name to Portland's recognition of leaders of courage. And let me say at this point, I spoke with Governor Ted Kulongoski, and he could not be here today, but he asked me to also add his support to this decision today. And so the rest of my remarks, you can think of Ted making them with me. Harvey Milk's election to public office as a gay man opened minds and it opened hearts. Since his death, that image of bravery and openness has lifted spirits and hopes for millions of LGBT community members across the continents, across the world, across the globe, especially gay youth. This is the right choice and the perfect time and the perfect place for this recognition. When my dear friend Terry Bean first raised the idea of naming a street in Portland, historic gay district after Harvey Milk, I was a little hesitant. I thought it might be a little difficult. I told him I wasn't sure he could make it happen. We could make it happen. And then I remembered, we live in Portland, Oregon, where we honor courage and diversity, where we honor bravery and inclusion. What better place than Portland? There isn't one better. What better time for this decision than Pride Week? And what better, who better to take this decision, this decisive step forward than our elected city council? I am privileged to support this proposed street naming. It makes me a very proud Portlander and an extremely extra proud Oregonian. So I will tell you, I didn't intend to say this today, but after listening to Stuart and knowing that Nicole is going to speak in a moment, I proudly display in my living room a bust of Harvey Milk that I received as an award in his name from his foundation down in San Diego about 3 years ago, and Stuart and Nicole were there to help honor me with a Harvey Milk Foundation Award, so it's extra special.
Thank you.
Mayor Ted Wheeler, President Fish, Honorable Commissioners, I bring you greetings from the City of San Diego and our great Mayor Kevin Faulkner. As a Latino and gay activist for about 50 years, I've had the privilege to have worked with both Cesar Chavez and Harvey Milk. I come from a generation that well remembers the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, when homosexuals, with just a stroke of a pen with a signature of either their parents or a judge, were sent to mental hospitals, many subjected to electric shock treatment and lobotomies. God has blessed me these last decades to have witnessed the progress and empowerment of both my people of color communities and the GLBT community. But we all know that the continuing fight for GLBT equality is the last civil rights movement of the 21st century. Since the Revolutionary War, GLBT Americans have made great contributions to this nation. Finally, in the last decades, cities have been honoring such civil rights icons as Martin Luther King and Cesar Chavez, and now Harvey Milk. San Diego is proud that it is the first city in the nation to have named a street after Harvey Milk, followed by Salt Lake City. Harvey Milk was a lieutenant in the U.S. Navy and was stationed in San Diego. In honoring Harvey Milk, we honor our active military and veterans, especially those who are GLBT. Our nation's oldest GLBT organization, the International Imperial Courts, and I led the successful national letter writing campaigns that resulted in both a Harvey Milk U.S. postage stamp that was unveiled at the White House and the Secretary of the Navy naming a naval vessel after Lieutenant Harvey Milk. The UNS Harvey Milk will be built and dedicated in San Diego starting next year. By the way, the Portland chapter of the Imperial Courts was very involved in these national letter writing campaigns, and Portland Court will be celebrating its 60th anniversary on October 20th. In closing, I must also state that I have had the privilege of going with Harvey Milk's nephew, Stuart, who's with us this afternoon, to Europe and Central America, and have seen firsthand how Harvey Milk is becoming a civil rights icon for the GLBT global community, especially since the Academy Award winning movie Milk, based on his life. And since the issuing of the Harvey Milk postage stamp and the announcement of the USNS Harvey Milk and cities honoring his legacy, I must tell you there has been an outpouring of pride, inspiration, and honor, especially by GLBT youth from around the world, as Stuart so noted. I salute the Portland Committee, Terry Beam, Susan Darcel, the Basic Rights Oregon, and everyone involved. On behalf of the City of San Diego and Mayor Faulkner, we hope you would join us in other cities in honoring the legacy of Harvey Milk. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Mayor, that completes the invited testimony, but before we move to public testimony, if I may, I would like to introduce an emergency clause to make this ordinance effective upon our vote.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Saltzman to add an emergency clause. We have a second from Commissioner Fish. Any further discussion? Carla, would you please call the roll?
We'll get wording for that, the clause.
It's just, he's just adding the emergency clause.
Okay. The wording for it, though, will be.
Sure.
The wording being this is Pride Month and the Pride Parade is Saturday, and we want to celebrate and honor Harvey Milk with the street being renamed Harvey Milk today.
Thank you. Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Wheeler?
And just so you know, legally, she has to ask that question. The answer is aye. The amendment is adopted. How many folks do we have signed up today, Carla?
We have 15 people. 17, sorry.
17 people. Yeah. Very good. 3 minutes each. And there's a little red light that'll go on when your time is up. 30 seconds before your time goes, there's a yellow light. And when the red light goes, you're going to hear a beep. If you are able to hear said beep, we ask you again, keep the microphone about this far from your face. It's a very sensitive microphone, and please leave the microphone on when you leave so the next person can just tee it right up.
The first three are Norwood Palladin, Kathy Travis, and Cameron Witten, and they'll be followed by Peter Pariseau, Ben Levia, and Cindy Comfer.
And we ask for name for the record, but nobody needs to give their address.
You're going first, right?
Okay. Good afternoon. There's no particular order. Whoever, if you'd like to go ahead and start, we're good to go.
Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. I am Kathy Travis, a retired Portland attorney and an LGBTQ civil liberties activist and a member of the coalition of individuals and organizations that comprise the Harvey Milk Project. I'm in my 70th year and therefore have seen progress and backlash in the struggle for gay rights. In Oregon, we fought against the OCA's anti-gay ballot measures. We fought for and succeeded in passing hate crimes and anti-discrimination legislation. The process for me and for so many others like me has been a journey from being cast as an outsider to finally feeling part of the community. This kind of journey that ultimately speaks to the best in all of us needs to be affirmed, encouraged, honored, and celebrated. I want to flash back to a moment that I experienced in my early 20s. I was leaving a lesbian bar with my girlfriend when we were confronted by a group of teenage boys with baseball bats who had been waiting outside the bar, as they sometimes did, to victimize people like us. I heard one of them yell, "Get them!" Terrified, we ran and they ran after us. Luckily, we outran them and reached my apartment building, and with trembling hands, I was able to unlock the door to safety. Collapsing inside, my heart pounding as it had never done before or since, I kept thinking over and over that we could have been killed or maimed, and nobody would care. We had no rights. We were outcasts who did not matter. I don't want anyone ever to experience the terror that we felt that night, but they do still in this country. Renaming Southwest Stark Street to Southwest Harvey Milk Street is not a cure-all or an end stop to the journey. However, the inclusion and acceptance such a step represents is important, and not just for the LGBTQ community, but to our greater Portland community. I hope we will continue to work together towards a more equitable community where each of us, regardless of sexual identity or difference, can reach our full potential and be who we truly are. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your testimony.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and City Commissioners. My name is Cameron Witten. I have lived in Portland for 8 years. I am young, poor, queer, black, and proud. And I'm going to be brief. I'm just going to say that this is a great day for celebration. We live in a time where our news is sad, where so much is sad in the world. And this is a room that is full of energy and full of a celebration of something that this community has needed for a long time. And, you know, I think about many renames that City of Portland's had in the past, whether it's Union Street, Cesar Chavez, and there are always naysayers. There are always people who are afraid of change. But what we're here to show is that community is here and that justice is on our side and that these stories matter and this is a long time coming. And so I really hope and I put faith in you all and in the City of Portland that this is just the beginning to recognize LGBTQ leaders who have shifted this city and have shifted this world and that we continue to elevate leaders from underrepresented communities. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Norwood Paladin. I came very well prepared, but since I've been here, I feel as though I might have to go off script. Meeting people outside, I may be one of the only dissenters, dissenting opinion here, and I'm just here to learn more than anything else. Since I've been here today, I've been made to feel very uncomfortable, unwelcomed, unwanted, and it was even suggested that I go home and not speak, simply because I have a different opinion. Now, before I start, and if I don't say anything else, I just want the council to know, the other speakers, the assembly, I want everyone to know that I am not homophobic, as was mentioned. I'm not bigoted or intolerant, and I support the gay community. But my research has led me to find some things that are fairly disturbing about Harvey Milk, and that's what I came to address. Please, no disrespect to anyone should be taken. And I will continue to go off script. The Life and Times of Harvey Milk, Mayor of Castro Street. This is an excellent book given to me by a gay friend. In this book, there is page after page of accusations against Harvey Milk. Accusations of pedophilia, child abuse, statutory rape, racism. It's said that he preyed on young, vulnerable, drug-addicted boys, and we all know that he lived with a 16-year-old runaway, Jack McKinley, as husband and wife. In the book, you'll see that he referred to one colleague, John Wu, as Lotus Blossom. He referred to another colleague, Michael Wong, as My Little Fortune Cookie. His Mexican-American lover, Jack Lira, he called Taco Bell, until Mr. Lira hung himself in their shared apartment. I've got many more examples if anyone would like to read them, but here's the thing, and it's what I'll get to now, and I've got 30 seconds. My quarrel isn't with Harvey Milk. I want to ask this question. How in the age of the Me Too movement and so many woke individuals can anyone in their right mind and with a straight face possibly think it's good or proper to memorialize an accused pederast, child abuser, or sexual predator? I think this is a terrible and irresponsible message to send to victims of abuse.
If I may, Mayor and Commissioners, I'd like to address the allegation that was just made very briefly.
Let's keep moving on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's move on. Thank you. Appreciate it, all three.
The next three are Peter Pariseau, Ben Levia, and Cindy Comfer, and they'll be followed by Rick Jung, Bill Dickey, and Matt Steele.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Peter Pariseau. I'm Deputy Executive Director of Cascade AIDS Project and Prison Health, and I'm here to convey my organization's support of this initiative to rename Stark Street to Harvey Milk.